Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. We're broadcasting today live from Sandestin, Florida. We're here at the Grand Sandestin Hotel with a live studio audience, and we are glad to be here in Florida, where, frankly, right now, it is raining. It has been raining, and from what we can tell, it will be raining. Nonetheless, we're having a great time here in the Florida Gulf Coast, and it's a great time to be talking about the things that matter, especially today. We're going to be taking an issue that the entire world, especially here in the United States, is beginning to rethink, and that's the issue of retirement. For many people, especially here in North America, retirement's just been an expectation. You reach age 62, 65, 67, somewhere in there. So many folks just assume this is the time when we retire. And the conception of retirement has been something that has been growing for years in terms of Western societies, with the assumption that retirement means we don't work, we do other things. And in many cases, those other things have been everything from playing golf and fishing to spending time with the grandkids to all kinds of things. We have an entire culture now that has developed marketing, consumer approaches, retirement communities, and all the rest toward those who are at the retirement phase of life. Why is it being rethought in the larger culture? It's not because of a massive worldview change. It's not because of a moral revaluation. It's because of the financial situation we're facing now, where many people are saying, I'm not sure I can, here's the formula, afford to retire. And we're going to be talking about what it would mean not just to afford to retire, but what it would mean to rethink retirement in a way that would be far more consistent with a Christian way of understanding, because just as is the case with so many of the issues in the world today, I think many Christians have simply fallen into a default secular understanding of retirement. And I think we need to rethink that. We ought not to waste a crisis here. We ought not to waste the opportunity to come back and ask the question, while the world is rethinking retirement, how should we rethink it in a way that brings it into far greater consistency with Christian conviction? We'll get to that in just a moment. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's talk retirement. First, to review some issues in the news, on my website at albertmohler.com, I posted an article earlier today entitled The Eclipse of Christian Memory. And what that's about, I mentioned briefly yesterday, and that is that two reporters with USA Today have looked at two different sets of patterns and have discovered a remarkable overlap. The first set of patterns is the ERA study. That is the American Religious Identification Study that goes state by state looking at the incredible rise of the persons who identify as religiously unaffiliated, as those who are basically secular in their outlook. Then they did an overlay of looking at the states considering same-sex marriage, and this is what they discovered. It's really, really interesting. It's not all that shocking, but it is very interesting. And that is that the states that have the greatest number and percentage of those who indicate that they are basically secular in their outlook are the same states where there is a greater openness to same-sex marriage. The states where there is a far higher degree and percentage of Christian identification, well, those are the states where there's a far lower support for same-sex marriage. Now, as you're thinking about this, just remember when we talked about the ERA study a couple weeks ago, we pointed out that something unusual had happened, and that is that unexpectedly, the American Northeast, the very cradle of colonial America, has been transformed now into the most secular part of the country, the most secular region of, in fact, the United States, that had been previously the Pacific Northwest. You are looking at Oregon, Washington, much of Northern California being very secular, but now it's the American Northeast. And at the same time, USA Today is reporting, as is the Wall Street Journal, as is the New York Times, and just about everyone else, that the momentum towards same-sex marriage is also showing up in New England. Today's New York Times is reporting that the New Hampshire House of Representatives voted Thursday to legalize same-sex marriage, narrowly approving a bill that faces an uncertain future in the state Senate, and yet it is expected nonetheless that this is a harbinger of things to come. Also in Vermont, the legislature appears to be poised almost immediately to legalize same-sex marriage, even though the governor there, Governor Jim Douglas, has said that he would veto the bill if it reaches his desk. Now, whether or not it actually gets through this legislative term, whether or not either of the governors in these respective states vetoes the legislation, the momentum is clearly there as compared to the rest of the country. Now, in my article, The Eclipse of Christian Memory, I published today at albertmohler.com, I look at those statistics, and then I go to the issue that really interests me. I write this: Christianity once formed the worldview of New England. While it was never true that all New Englanders were believing Christians, it is true that the worldview that gave birth to colonial America was explicitly Christian in substance, and most specifically in moral commitments. That first era of New England history was pervasively Christian and pervasively Protestant. In the 19th and early 20th centuries, New England was reshaped by the arrival of millions of immigrants from Europe, and millions of these were Roman Catholics. Thus, by the arrival of the 20th century, many New England neighborhoods and city centers were shaped very noticeably by Catholic moral teachings. Now, as the first decade of the 21st century draws to a close, the increasingly secularized character of New England helps to explain why the region is now ground zero for same-sex marriage. Now, very interesting thought here. Not just thinking about the issue of same-sex marriage, but quite frankly, looking at the issue of the secularization of this region. Let's think about this. Leslie Newbegin, the late bishop, had been looking at the whole context of Western Europe in terms of the Christian gospel. He came to the conclusion, and he backed this up with a very, very compelling analysis, that the greatest challenge to evangelism in our generation is evangelizing a post-Christian culture. That is, seeking to reach persons with the gospel who are living in regions that had once been shaped by Christianity but had abandoned it. That makes a lot of sense when you think about it. He said the great challenge for the Christian church in the 21st century is going to be evangelizing nations that had previously been evangelized, at least in terms of having a knowledge of Christianity. Well, he was talking about Europe, but what we're looking at here reminds us that the same pattern is true here in North America. We already have Canada across our northern border following the European pattern, growing increasingly secular, and now we see it in much of the United States as well. My article, The Eclipse of Christian Memory, is about what happens when a civilization begins to lose even the memory of its Christian commitments, and one of the first things to show up when that memory fades is a radical shift in terms of the morality of the people. Now, I published that article at albertmiller.com. At the Washington Post and Newsweek magazine, I posted an article today at the On Faith page, as I was requested by folks there. I got a question by email, straightforward. I wasn't sure the context. And the question was, do I believe that Satan is real? Well, that's a question I'm ready to answer. And I did so at On Faith. You can find it posted there. What I said is, of course, Satan exists. Biblical Christianity understands Satan to be all too real. The Bible presents Satan in a straightforward and honest way. He is a real and present danger who sets himself as the enemy of God and his purposes and as the enemy of God's people. Again, the issue is biblical authority. If you accept the Bible, you believe in Satan. Contemporary Christians often err on the one hand by denying Satan's existence, influence, or power. This is to deny what the Bible clearly reveals. Satan is revealed to be a tempter who seeks to subvert God's purposes and to destroy God's people. Satan tried Job in order to discredit God, and he tempted Jesus Christ in order to destroy his mission and ministry. In both cases, Satan was unsuccessful. Satan is a real and present danger, but Christians err on the other extreme by misunderstanding Satan and exaggerating his power. Christianity is not a dualism with God understood to be the holy deity and Satan construed as the evil deity. God alone is God. Satan is a created being who rebelled against his creator and even now is the enemy of God's purposes. He led a rebellion against God in heaven and now leads a continuing rebellion against God on earth. But Satan is no equal to God, and his own defeat was fully secured by Jesus Christ on the cross. C.S. Lewis has the Christian attitude towards Satan just about perfect in his little classic, The Screwtape Letters. Give Satan no more or less than is his due. Deny him his victory by giving him neither too much nor too little attention. In the end, he is no threat to those who are secured in Christ. We do well to mock him as he seeks to mock our Christ. Satan exists today as a defeated foe who still has the power to oppose God and to seek to discredit God's purposes. His judgment by God will be awesome and terrible. As the great reformer Martin Luther majestically wrote in his classic hymn, one little word shall fell him, and that word is Christ. There is fascinating stuff in the news today. Are you curious about what your government is up to? Well, if you are, you may want to know that your Senate is considering whether or not to take up the issue of whether there should be a championship game in NCAA college football. It seems that that is a raging issue. With everything going on in the economy and foreign policy and all the rest, you would think that the United States Senate had something better to do. However, the Senate Judiciary Committee's Subcommittee on Antitrust and Competition Policy and Consumer Rights released a statement on Wednesday saying that the current system of playoffs, or it's not playoffs, it's bowl games, quote, leaves nearly half of all the teams in college football at a competitive disadvantage when it comes to qualifying for the millions of dollars paid out every year. Turns out that behind this push is Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, who is upset that Utah, though undefeated in the regular season, didn't get to play in the national championship game. In the House of Representatives, not to be left out, Representative Joe Barton of Texas has sponsored legislation that would prevent the NCAA from calling a football game a national championship unless the game culminates from a playoff system. Football fans, rest assured, the game is safe. It's now in the hands of the United States Congress. We'll be back to talk about rethinking the issue of retirement from a Christian worldview perspective. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world. You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're here with a live studio audience at the Grand Sandestin Hotel and Conference Center here in Sandestin, Florida. And we're here talking about the issue of retirement. That's the issue for today. Now, if you look at the nation's newspapers, listen to the media, you're going to hear a lot of talk about rethinking retirement. What they're really talking about is the financial need to rethink retirement, because there are a lot of couples who have been planning for their retirement. A lot of folks have been thinking about exactly when they might retire. They've got 403Bs, 401Ks, and all the rest. And it turns out that the economy has undertaken a major shift. And part of this, of course, in terms of investment losses and other issues, is causing persons to rethink, do I really have what it's going to take to retire? Now, as people are rethinking retirement with financial pressure as the motivation, I think it's a good opportunity for Christians to think and to kind of step back for a moment and say, were we really thinking rightly about retirement? Have we really been thinking in a responsible way about retirement? And I want to tell you one of the reasons why I'm bringing this up. It is because most of us accept the moral landscape that is before us. We assume that this is normal. Just to give you one example, we in America assume that this long period of adolescence is just normal without recognizing that this is new in human history. That almost no previous generation of human beings knew what we now take as always been there part of the landscape, which is this long extended period of adolescence in the lifespan. We also have taken retirement basically as an assumption. But we really need to retrace for a moment how we got to the very issue of thinking about retirement. And as we got to the idea of retirement, as it is now commonly understood, we're really going back to the midpoint of the 20th century. We're not going back hundreds of years. We're going back just to five or six decades, and in particular, on the other side of the massive economic and social shifts that took place in America around the time of the Great Depression and World War II, with the rise of, for instance, the Social Security Administration and the benefits that came in the Old Age Survivors Insurance Program. When you look at that, you realize this is where some of our issues of what's normal really got started. According to the Old Age Survivors Insurance Program, OASI, better known as the Social Security system, Americans could retire as early as age 62. The normative age was considered to be about 65. That age is now being increased by regulation and by legislative intention to 66 and perhaps as high as 67, and who knows, where will it be after that? The assumption is that persons end their normal employment at about that stage of life, somewhere, let's say, between 60 and 70, and then enter into a different stage of life. And what exactly takes place in that stage of life is something other than work, at least as it is commonly understood in terms of the way people most reflexively think about retirement. Now, what many of us forget now is that one of the motivations for this system back then was not just that persons reaching what was then called old age, it doesn't seem so old now, that those reaching that old age mark would be financially supported and taken care of. That was part of it. The other effort had to do with pressure from the other side of the demographic. And that is that we were largely an industrial-based country, and the idea was we need to get certain persons retired so that there will be positions opening up for younger people who are entering the workplace. So that was behind the mentality of all this. It was rethinking the whole idea of work on the other side of the Industrial Revolution, on the other side of the Great Depression, on the other side of the government taking on responsibility for what is now called Social Security. Now, when you look at all of that, you realize that you're talking now not about a short span of life. When the Social Security system was put in place, the assumption was that most persons would live 5 to 7 years after beginning those survivor or old age survivor's insurance benefits. Well, that's not the case now. Let's be thankful for a longer lifespan. Let's be thankful for more energy, for greater health, for so many millions of persons reaching what previously been considered to be old age. And as I said, they don't look at it as old age anymore. I don't think anyone really looks at age 62 or 65 or even 67 as old age. But it is still seen as a retirement age. Let me tell you what is my concern, theologically and biblically. My concern is that we have bought into the mentality of the world, not just at the end retirement stage, but at all stages, so that we forget that our main purpose is to live to God's glory and to be deployed as believers in Christ, as part of the body of Christ, for maximum benefit to the kingdom, maximum service to the kingdom, as is rightly facilitated at every stage of life. There are things that an unmarried, 18 or 19-year-old can do for the kingdom that my married couple can't do. There are things that married couples with children are doing for the kingdom that those who are in a different stage of life are not doing. Maybe they have done, maybe they will do, but this is their stage of life. I want to argue that retirement should be reconsidered so that we as Christians understand that the last thing it means is that we just quit. Now, the last thing that it means is that it is turned into a period of indefinite leisure. There's nothing wrong with leisure in its place. That's one of God's gifts to us. There's nothing wrong with ending certain employment at a certain time. That could make a great deal of sense, not only economically, even furthermore, it can make a great deal of sense in terms of the kingdom and the priorities of the kingdom of God. But my concern is, number one, we are losing and have been losing for decades the potential contributions of millions of Christians who, upon their retirement, are simply not looked to for the kind of contribution they can and should be making to kingdom purposes all over the world. And I think we are also in a situation in which we have misconstrued leisure and have basically misconstrued what it would mean to be deployed at every stage of our life for maximum faithfulness to the kingdom of Christ. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's talk about it. We have two callers on the line. And you could be next. Bert is calling from San Francisco, California. What do you think, Bert?
Well, Dr. Muller, first of all, I want to say I haven't seen you in a long time, but I love following you on Twitter and love the fact that you're such a powerful and articulate spokesperson. Thanks.
That's very kind. Thank you.
And I think on retirement, couldn't agree with you more. My wife and I are both at the supposed retirement age, but it's not a biblical option, and we've often said that to many people. It's only in the Bible once, and you don't see any of the powerful figures in the Bible retiring from anything. They continue either ministry or whatever they are engaged in. And I think you're absolutely right on with what you say. I think people should consider it much differently and not be of the culture and retire at 60, 65, or whatever age.
Bert, I thank you for your call. I appreciate also the fact you're following us on Twitter, and that's something that encourages me, and I appreciate the fact you were fast on it to call, and I appreciate the conviction and the passion with which you've considered this question. You know, as I think about this, I think I probably need to define some issues just for our common understanding. I think that when we look at retirement, I guess the best thing I could say is that it's probably the wrong word. I think for Christians, that's probably the wrong way to conceive of the entire stage of life. I don't know what to call it, but it's like, what's next? And I would hope that most Christians would see that even if they believe it's the right time for them to leave their profession they may have had or their job or vocation that they had in terms of salaried or income-based understanding there and their employment, I would hope that they would see it as an opportunity to perhaps move from employment to deployment. For the sake of the kingdom, continuing to make a contribution. Perhaps we as Christians should actually think about our lifespan and our work span in order to get certain things done during the time of our maximum employment with the aim that one of the great goals of our life is then to be able to do great things for the kingdom on the other side of that phase of life. Rather than retirement being considered as less, I'm really encouraging folks to think of that last stage of life after perhaps gainful employment as more for the sake of the kingdom. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. Here is a statistic you might not know. One of the most vulnerable groups in terms of folks who are going for medical attention for depression are folks who have recently retired. Now I ought to tell us something. When you have persons who are depressed when they retire because evidently what they thought they were aiming for isn't what they got, and the experience is not all they'd hoped for, that's another sign we need to rethink the whole thing. I'm calling for a Christian rethinking of retirement. I'm one of the first to call for that. But I think in this current climate of people having to rethink retirement because financially, many people are wondering if it's possible, I think we as Christians have to ask some deeper questions about what's going on there. As you've been listening to the program, you know what my point is. My point is at every stage of life, we ought to be looking for, aiming for, held accountable to maximum deployment for the glory of God, for kingdom purposes. And at different stages of life, there are different things we can naturally do. And I think one of the greatest tragedies in the church today is the pool of unused, underutilized talent, wisdom, knowledge, energy that is found among folks who would be called, in an employment context, retired. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. It's got a Scottsdale, Arizona. David's on the line. Go ahead, David. What do you think?
David, this is Dr. Mohler. This is David. I, too, like your previous caller, found you on Twitter, just to let you know.
Thank you.
I want to let you know that I spent my entire life with a goal to retire at the age of 50, and I pulled that off and celebrated and enjoyed my life for 6 months and went into a deep depression, as I really hadn't given it any consideration to what life might be after that. And I now find myself in a year-long discovery of completely changing my worldview, and so I found your topic on Twitter and thought I should call and let you know that.
David, I really appreciate that. As you're reconsidering your worldview, are you looking at how perhaps to re-engage whether you go back to the same kind of employment you had before, are you really thinking about now, you know, what you might do instead of what you might not do during this stage of life?
Yes, what I might do. I came out of the business world and have many skills that I think are applicable to the church and to God's kingdom, and the prayer of my heart is that God would show me a way that I can use those skills to bring many along with me as we approach heaven someday. I don't know,
David,
what that looks like currently, but I'm confident that will be the case, and that's where I intend to spend my joys and the rest of my life. Fortunately, even with the bloodbath we've had in the markets, we're still financially blessed. So my heart's great desire now with a new worldview is to learn how to use those skills to help further God's kingdom.
David, thank you so much. It was worth doing the show today just to get your call. I really appreciate that. And I'd love to hear from others as well. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, David, I have some suggestions for you. You just might think about submitted for your consideration. In your local church, I'm sure there are multiple avenues of service. I am sure that there are younger people in the church, perhaps younger couples in the church, who could use some real assistance in figuring out things from finances to life plans and all the rest. And maybe you've got some real wisdom to give there. You might consider some short-term missionary service. You know, it may be that the greatest use of your skills could be on some mission field where someone's just looking for someone like you to be able to come in and do some things. You know, an enormous amount of what is necessary on the mission field, people don't think about this. An enormous amount of what is necessary on the mission field is for people just to do stuff. There's an enormous amount of stuff that has to be done just to keep the operation going. And it may be that you could serve in such a way that it would really be an enhancement of and an expansion of kingdom service, not only for yourself but for others. So there are several things to consider there. I think there are a lot of people who are thinking, well, maybe, community service and all these things. Those can be very good things. But for Christians, I would suggest, again, the local church is the place to start. And then beyond the local church, the mission field is the place to aim. And, David, I pray the Lord will lead you in just the right ways, open all the right doors, for maximum service, so that at the end of this stage of your life, you look back and say, I wouldn't trade that for anything. And what I was really aiming for all those working years was not what I knew. but I know it now. Let's rethink retirement. It's a big issue. We need to rethink adolescence. We need to rethink young adulthood. We need to rethink every stage of life. But right now, a lot of us are rethinking retirement. A lot of folks around us, Christians and non-Christians alike, are rethinking retirement. I think it'd be a tragedy if Christians just rethink retirement on financial terms. We need to rethink it in Great Commission terms, kingdom terms, discipleship terms. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Give me a call on the Albert Mueller Program. You can also follow us at Twitter at Mueller Radio. And always, you can send us mail at mail@albertmueller.com. We'll be back with more on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. We're talking about rethinking the entire concept of retirement. It's kind of under the general theme of don't waste a crisis. And a lot of folks do see this as a crisis because of financial pressure, the losses in the stock market and all the rest, 401k plans, 403b plans, you name the plan. A lot of folks are wondering whether that plan is going to get them where they thought they would be at what they had conceived and anticipated to be their retirement age. One of the points I've tried to make over and over again on this program is that I think we as Christians have bought into a kind of reflexively secular way of thinking about these things. We think about adolescence in a secular way. We tend to think about parenting and children in increasingly secular ways. And we tend to think about our vocations in secular ways. We tend to think about the end of vocation and retirement, also in a way that is more secular than biblical. The retirement conception by which we operate now, this whole idea, is a fairly recent vintage. And I think it's implied some very wrong and spiritually unhealthy things about different stages of life for Christians. My big point, and frankly it's not mine, I think it's the Bible's point, is that we should be deployed for maximum service and impact for the kingdom of Christ at every stage of life. And what we need to think about is how we would redeploy at the end of employment in a way that would really bring glory to God. Let's talk about it. 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Teresa calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Listen on WFIA. Go ahead, Teresa.
Hello, Dr. Mueller. I just want to say I listen to you a lot on my way home from work, and it's very wonderful. My husband and I started attending a new church a couple of years ago in the area, and it's been very refreshing to us to notice how the 60-plus crowd are the ones that are the most active in the church. They're the ones serving and teaching, and they're using their retirement years what I consider very wisely, and I just think what you're doing today is a wonderful reminder to us that God's work never stops.
Teresa, I really appreciate that word. That's very helpful, and I'm glad to know of a local church that probably not by accident, but by an attempt to be mutually faithful together, has arrived at the very good situation you talk about. You know, you remind me that Titus 2 talks about older women teaching younger women. There are a lot of young mothers who need older women to say, you really can do this. This is how it's done. This can be a resource. There are an awful lot of young dads who need older men to say, this is how it's done. There are an awful lot of husbands who need older men to say, been there, done that, do this, don't do that. There are an awful lot of things like that. It would be really, really helpful. You know, I was in a church not too long ago where, and I love this, because there is a to-do list committee. And it's really a task team of older men who help people in the church who need to get things done, especially single moms and others, folks who are living alone. They need some things done. You know, there are some wonderful things that can be done for folks by people that know how to do things. And it's not just people that know plumbing and carpentry and electricity and all the rest. It's people who know how to prepare a tax return, how to set up certain things financially, how to do certain things legally. You know, if we were deployed commonly in the local church for the glory of God for each other, it'd be a very different picture than the kind of autonomous individualism that we buy into. And perhaps this is one of those issues that helps to bring it to life. We're talking about rethinking retirement. I'll tell you one thing we definitely need to rethink. And that is the conception of retirement that becomes the focus of our culture's attention. Now, just in preparation to have some conversation here, I was looking at the magazine rack of a major bookstore the other day, and I was looking at the magazines directed towards older folks. And let me just tell you, every single one of them, to a magazine, featured leisure on the front cover. Every single one of them. It was golf, and generally, I'm here in Florida, no accident, it was more golf. Or it was walking in a sunset, you know, with all kinds of things, you know, anticipated in terms of that picture about what leisure might look like. You know, I think one of the most important things we can understand is that leisure is a part of God's creation. It's something He gave us. He made us the only creature able to enjoy leisure. Other animals do not play golf. You know, you do not have other animals fishing. I have never gone fishing and had to make way for a bear with a fishing rod. That just doesn't happen. A part of what it means to be made in God's image is to understand that leisure, and leisure, by the way, means not just rest, but it means also the content of things that bring us joy and fulfillment. And there's nothing wrong with those things in their proper proportion. The problem in the Christian life is that so many things get out of proper proportion. One of those can be work, by the way. Not only can we have too much leisure in our lives, we can have too much work in our lives, where work becomes an idol, as much as leisure can become an idol. And that's, by the way, the reason why we come again and again to the fact that we need each other. We need the local church. None of us is equipped to figure this out alone. There is not one of us, not an individual, and there is not a couple that is equipped to figure all these things out alone. We need the local church as a place where we're together with fellow believers and we can say, here's what our plan is, here's how we're thinking, this is what we'd love to do. Does that make any sense? Does that sound like something that would bring glory to God? Does that sound like something that would help the church? Does that sound like something that would strengthen believers? You know, if more people talked that way, we'd have a very different church, both in terms of local congregations and in terms of the great body of Christ worldwide. I mentioned something in talking to David earlier, and that is the opportunities on the mission field. You know, right now we are looking at the possibility of having persons who are unusually trained, highly trained, unusually skilled and gifted, who can go to places and perhaps facilitate gospel ministry in ways that you've never even considered. And I would not speak on behalf of the mission agencies. I can just tell you, if you make contact with a credible evangelical mission agency, I think you'd be surprised. You know, as a Southern Baptist, I want to encourage, you know, older Southern Baptists to consider, you know, contacting the International Mission Board or the Southern Baptist Convention to saying, can I help? You know, what would that look like? You might be surprised at the kind of things that could happen. And in your own denomination, your own church fellowship, I would ask the same kind of question. You know, once that catches on, by the way, here's a prediction. And I say this based upon experience. Once that catches on, you're going to see a lot of folks in the same church say, that's what I want to do. You're going to see a lot of folks say, well, if you can do that, I can see the satisfaction it's brought you. I want to do that too. We need to change it so that younger people looking to this next stage of life begin aiming for those things. That would be much more efficient than getting there and then wondering, okay, what do I do now? We need to plan for that stage of life. I appreciate the conversation about rethinking retirement. It's one of those things that all of us really need to take into consideration, regardless of how old we are yet. Because if God gives us health and strength and length of days, we will be there, and we need to be there faithfully, even as we are faithful in the present as well. Folks, encourage each other in the local church about this. Let's continue the conversation. I'll be back with more on the Albert Miller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Miller Program. Good conversation about rethinking retirement. It's at least a down payment on starting a conversation that I hope will take place elsewhere as well, perhaps in your family, perhaps you as a couple sitting down, perhaps in your local church, beginning to ask this question, not just in terms of isolated individuals and individual couples, but rather as an entire church that is to be deployed for the glory of God. I received some fascinating responses electronically. Let me just share a couple of these with you. One older woman wrote in, very sweet message, listen to this. She says, take advantage of working in the business sector and then have an income to do mission work. I worked as a cook at an athletic dorm and now am retired and living with my son and wife who have adopted 8 older children, and I cook for them so that their mother is able to homeschool them. There are so many opportunities to minister, and we are living so much longer and healthier lives and have so many opportunities. That's just really sweet. I appreciate that. Also, a pretty prophetic word coming in from a man who wrote in to say, when did David Brainerd retire? When did John Patton hit the beach? At what age did Jonathan Edwards invest in a rocking chair or George Whitfield learn to cross-stitch? Well, folks, I'm going to have some recovery time to imagine George Whitfield cross-stitching, but the point is extremely well made. You know, what we're looking at here is maximum deployment for the kingdom of God. And I am not in a position to say that I know exactly what God would have you to do in terms of thinking ahead and preparing for maximum deployment for the kingdom of God, deployment or redeployment for the kingdom of God at that stage of life. But I'm absolutely convinced that God's purposes for us continue through every part of our lifespan. God's purposes for us include the very end of our life. Look at the Bible. Look at how the Bible considers senior adulthood or the aged. It speaks of the older person with great honor. It speaks of the mantle of silver hair. It speaks particularly of the wisdom that belongs to patriarchs and matriarchs. Something is wrong with the church when we conceive of old age as either a problem or as simply an opportunity for leisure. Again, leisure and work, both of them can become idols. But at every stage of life, we need to figure out how to put all of these things into proper proportion. Nothing wrong with playing golf, nothing wrong with going fishing, nothing wrong with a lot of the things that people want to do when perhaps they have more time and more freedom on their hands from the kind of employment schedules that they previously had. But employment ought to lead to re-employment, to deployment for the kingdom of God. And we need to rethink not only this stage of life, but every other stage of life as well. We'll be back to talk about the things that matter on the Albert Mueller Program. This is the place for intelligent Christian conversation. Thanks for gathering with us and joining us on the program today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with Intelligent Christian Conversation next week. I'll join you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.